sorry. You know it's a bad morning when I miss the toss at the top of the show.
Yep.
And the first thing that Travis says to me is try not to bleed out on us. And I not finished doing my...
your triage work.
I have triage on myself.
Yeah.
Yes, I sliced my finger open. I apologize, but I'm here now. Hello,
How did you slice your finger open?
Oh, well, you know, I'm not domestically, skilled.
Adept, yes.
No.
Okay.
And may I just go on record, and you know who I'm talking to. Somebody is stealing my Tupperware from my parties, because I was trying to pack something, and I had nothing, so I had to open Saran Wrap, which
so
is
So it's someone
thing.
Else's fault.
So I sliced it open on the Saran Wrap thing.
It's someone else's fault, you're saying.
Shut up while I put on my interceptor. I'm discombobulated because I'm flying today. You know when I travel.
Yeah.
I get discombobulated. I'm going up to Carmel Gym.
Oh.
Because my bestest friend's daughter is graduating from high school.
Cool.
Right. We are. She has two daughters. You've met them. And it's kind of hilarious because we look exactly like the family and the kids are all right. Like the daughter that's graduating looks exactly like me and the other daughter looks exactly like her. She is, what's the word I'm looking for, straight, but that's not my point. We look exactly like. I always tell her I'm her real mother. I just gave her up when I got my late night show. I can't be bothered.
And then she was adopted by Danny Bonaducci.
I'm sorry to leave you with this horrible woman, but I can't be bothered with this. You go ahead. But I'm showing up for graduation with a check, so that's all that matters.
Ah, well.
Yeah, exactly. And I always get nervous because you know what airline I fly. I don't mean to. I just can't help it.
Settle in. Relax. With even more legroom than before. In-flight personal video. Newly redesigned comfortable seats. And the finest airline meals in the industry. Yeah. So when you're settling in with our award-winning service and a strange, bi-curious middle-aged woman offers to shove her tongue down your throat, yep. Sit back and enjoy the ride. It's something special in the air.
Yep, thank you.
Great.
Yep. All right. Yeah, it's a thing. It's my comedy bits have sprung to life, Jim, in real life. I don't know what that is. Straight men, women, whatever that. It just seems me saying I'm gay is an opportunity, apparently.
To do you.
Right.
Yeah.
They think instead I said, by the way, would you mind shoving your tongue down my throat? Thank you so much. Thank you.
Earth girls are easy. That's the proof. Okay.
Like they're offering me a mint. Thank you. No.
Do you need help with that?
No, I have completed my triage. Oh, God, listen, you know what's wrong this week.
What?
Michelle Bachmann is retiring from Congress, and it is very upsetting to comedians everywhere. I bet you lots of comedians are cutting themselves, having various mishaps. We'll ask John Fugelsang later. Dean Abadala joins us.
If they're
Tina
cutting
DeBuy.
Themselves.
I bet she has turned us into a nation of cutters. I did this on purpose because I'm...
Well, Stephanie Cutter's already there, so...
There you go.
However, you know what?
What?
Once again, we had a great idea on the show. We'll get no money for it. Behind the Congressional Candelabra, the Marcus and Michelle story.
Yeah. HBO is already running promos for it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show.
Dr. Marcus Bachmann, what do you say when your teenager says she's gay?
Thank you very, very much.
This is my friend, Scott Thorson.
There's that curiosity.
You were incredible.
I love to give people a good time.
Alone at last.
Barbarians need to be educated.
Why don't you come work for me?
As what?
They need to be disciplined.
Do you even like this man?
Yeah, I really do.
Well, look who's up.
Just because someone feels it or thinks it doesn't mean that we're supposed to go down that road.
I call this palatial kitsch.
That's what's called the sinful nature.
Sleep tight, my baby boy.
Oh. I'm doggy sunglasses for our dog, Boomer.
You are very cute.
Stop.
They are giving full, wide-open doors to children, not only giving encouragement to think it, but to actually encourage action steps.
Action steps.
Oh, that's not bad for an old bag, huh?
After a great deal of thought and deliberation, I have decided next year I will not seek a fifth congressional term.
I'm so sorry. I'm so informal.
When he comes down in the caftan, sorry. I'm so informal. All right. Oh, Kenny Pick in Cleveland.
That's
that was
right.
Awesome. Thank you, Kenny. Yay.
Wow.
All right. people coping the best they can. Damien in Johnstown, Pennsylvania says, Steph, we may be losing Michelle Bachmann in the House, but we know it's only a matter of time before she winds up on Fox News. I can already see the TV listings like this. Tonight on Epicac, hosts Michelle Bachmann and Dana Loesch to discuss the latest threat to the Constitution, those amendments that aren't the second one. Special guest, Sarah Palin. All right, everyone get their comedy out. Epicac, that's funny. All right. This is a, yeah, I guess a hate letter.
Okay.
But from someone that doesn't, yeah, some music doesn't, someone that doesn't pay attention.
All right.
Michelle Bachmann is the subject line.
All right.
Michael writes, your personality.
Uh-oh.
Right? It's never like,
no,
is your sparkly.
No.
It's never that.
You, apostrophe R-E, is that how he spelled it?
Your, no, he spelled it correctly.
Spelled,
yeah,
wow.
Your.
Good for him.
Personality pretty much dictate. Well, we didn't get far before we had a grammatical mishap.
Conjugation, not so much.
Your personality pretty much dictate to make fun of those who disagree with your principles? Question mark. No, just her.
Yeah.
Just Michelle Bachmann. No wonder a sane male would avoid his dating you. That must be it. It must be the Michelle Bachmann jokes.
Yeah.
No wonder I can't catch a man.
Right. Because they're offended by the Bachmann jokes.
Right.
Well, I was going to, but now I
always
heard
thought
that.
I was such a man trap, and I guess not.
The tabloids are always saying, when is that nice Stephanie Miller ever going to get married?
She's such a bachelor, confirmed bachelorette. Why can't she snag a man? Perhaps you need to act your age. Michael. Okay. That's probably it. It's my immaturity and my Michelle Bachmann jokes. That's the reason I can't catch a man. Thanks for the tips. Thanks for the dating tips. GTK. Write it down. I will write it down. Oh, and yesterday's hate letter, misspelled Dyke, which right away.
Yeah.
Wow.
People,
how do you do that?
If you're going to engage in the homophobic slurs, for God's sakes, really?
Spell it right. Spell, at least.
And by the way, I'm slowly poisoning my underarms with the extra strength deodorant because of that letter.
Are you okay?
Right. Because of my nasty misspelled underarms.
Can you remember things?
No. It's really calling her. It's early onset Alzheimer's, but at least that guy's not going to call me a nasty bitch, dyke, whatever, misspelled. Okay. Which brings me to this story. I don't know why. I'm guessing this guy is one of our frequent callers.
Okay.
Man threatens to blow up government building sign over misspelled word.
Oh, I feel his pain.
This could be you.
I feel his pain. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but at least you don't try to blow up the Whiskas in the in the cat food aisle.
That's true.
You won't buy it.
I won't buy it.
Because you're persnickety that way.
It makes me pronounce the word incorrectly. Whisk ass.
Explain your affliction. Is it grammar, spelling? What is it?
No, I don't like any product that makes me talk like a New Yorker. Whiskas.
Well, that seems gratuitous.
Well, Whiskas.
Toward our friends on the East Coast.
I like my friends on the East Coast.
After all they've been through.
But your product shouldn't make me talk with a New York accent if I don't have one. I'm sorry.
So what do you do when you have to buy butter?
I thought it's a grammar thing for you. Grammar, spelling, what is it?
No, it's
all right.
An accent thing.
You're grammar police, but okay. A man in Salem, Oregon, took his obsession with correct spelling slightly
Oregon.
Too far. Or
see? Oregon.
His
Oregon.
Thing is people that mispronounce pronounce and put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
And when people say Nevada,
or
just means snowy.
All right, a guy up there in that state took his obsession with correct spelling slightly too far. Wednesday morning, he threatened to blow up a government building sign because a word was misspelled on it.
I feel his pain.
Right. Leonard Burdick allegedly walked into Salem's Teachers Standards and Practices Commission office on Wednesday carrying a pressure cooker. He informed employees there that he had just tried to blow up their sign because the D was missing from the and, making the sign read Teacher Standards and Practices Commission.
I've done that on an iPhone, but that's because my thumbs are just, like, huge. And so...
Right.
Yeah, I
tried to send someone a text yesterday, and I was trying to write job, and it said Jacob. And I had to write back right away, job. I meant, Jacob? What, Siri? What? Why do they put the people in charge of spelling in your iPhone that are the worst spellers?
How
did you possibly think I meant Jacob?
Right.
Okay. Burdick reportedly told the employees that the bomb didn't detonate, blaming the failure in part on the bomb's downloaded directions, which, according to Burdick, also contained misspellings.
Oh.
Don't you hate that?
At least it was a college building, and so...
Bad spellers of the world, untie! Okay.
Well, it's dyslexic, not bad
spellers. Right, right. Something. Okay, don't you hate that when your pressure cooker instructions are... All right. Can I have my porn music, please?
Sure.
This is, I don't know. I was going to say for Jim, but no, this is actually for an episode of Epicac, because it's. I think it's too gross for everybody.
All right.
However, at least I feel like less of a freak. Mother-daughter porn duo looking for father and son.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Tag team.
Wow.
What? Mother I just think I'm going to buy
it. Are they a real mother and daughter? Or
yes.
They just,
yes.
But they never touch lips. So what?
No.
Oh, because
no.
That's gross.
Because
right.
That'd be gross then.
Yeah.
Then that would be weird. I know when my mom... Oh! It's the rule. No. The Sextons. That's their name.
Oh, really?
Really?
When we
last left
the Sextons, Jessica and Monica. Jessica being the mother, of course. The world's first and only, quote-unquote, real mother and daughter porn team.
Dad must be so
he was
proud.
Busy defining the phrase, not technically incest.
Uh-huh.
Air quotes. We don't have a problem doing two-on-one, mother Jessica Sexton, 56, said then. We will have sex with one man, but not interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not icky in any way.
No.
You see how that's a loophole that you can... Noting that it wasn't easy to do... Daughter Monica Sexton, 22, added that the two make sure our lips never touch during filming.
Oh, of course.
So it's not like they don't have family values.
As you do. Right. Sort of a porn Brady Bunch.
Right, right. The Sextons are setting out on a nationwide search for a like-minded father. Oh, just in time for Father's Day. Isn't this special?
Yeah.
A like-minded father and son interested in appearing in a porn production with them. It's something we've considered for a while, Jessica told the Huffington Post.
Mm-hmm.
We once dated brothers in real life on and off for a couple of years. They were closer to Monica's age, but we haven't done a father and son in real life or on camera. Bucket list, people.
Hey.
Everyone's got them.
You got to have a goal
for everything.
Got to have dreams. Got
yeah.
Goals. The script has already been penned.
Script?
Yep.
Really?
Monica told HuffPo...
There are scripts in porn? Really?
Why, I didn't order a pizza.
Template.
Wait a minute. What? Pepperoni?
I hear people win awards for those kinds of things.
I didn't want sausage on my pizza.
What?
Oh, wait.
Oh. You're right, I should be punished. Monica told HuffPo something like, hey, Dad, my girlfriend's got a hot mom. But we probably cater to the fantasy by having the father have sex with me. Oh, okay. Well, so at least it still remains appropriate in every way.
Mm-hmm.
At least there are standards.
Makes you proud to be an American.
Right. Surrey. America. Yeah. 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 Okay. Yeah.
Only in America.
Okay.
Or maybe Sweden.
All right. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back. Sadly. Or not. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Thank God it's Friday.
That's right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
That was the movie that song appeared in.
Mm.
Right. 24 minutes after the hour. That's the Brick House dance. Okay. 1-800.
Is it really?
Yeah. Some little figment of my 70s memories. All right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, at least I'm not John McCain. That's despite
yeah.
The fact that
oh,
my
boy.
Rampy, did you sit on the pie again? I sure hope so.
Rampy. Did you pose with a rebel kidnapper again?
Careful of the apple pie on the seat.
Uh-oh!
Right.
Grandpa, are you sitting on the pie?
I sure hope so.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't know if I... McCain didn't see. This is why grumpy old men should not wander
into foreign
countries and try to dictate United States policy when they lost an election.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not Secretary of State either. McCain didn't realize he was posing with rebel kidnapper, spokesman says. Grampy. Senator McCain's office is pushing back against reports that while visiting Syria, this week, he posed in a photo with rebels who kidnapped 11 Lebanese Shiite pilgrims.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Grampy. Grampy.
Oh, I don't have time for this. Uh-huh. I have to go buy a single piece of fruit with a coupon and then return it, making people wait behind me while I complain.
I know. The photo released by McCain's office shows McCain with a group of rebels. Among them are two men identified in the Lebanese press as Mohammed Noor and Abu Ibrahim, two of the kidnappers of the group, right, from Lebanon. A McCain spokesman said that no one who met with McCain identified themselves by either of those names. Hello, I am a rebel kidnapper. How are you, Senator McCain?
Here's my business card.
What do you think of that?
Can't you at least do a Google search on people you're meeting with?
Really? Maybe this is why you should not be doing a treasonous little gamble into Ibrahim's a country
a pretty
to undermine
name.
The president. Ibrahim. Maybe that's why. Because you, right.
Well, okay. Maybe.
I imagine he doesn't have the opposition research that, you know, capabilities that the White House does to kind of figure out.
He probably didn't update his Google app on
right.
his iPhone.
Exactly.
He had that problem, you know.
Too, old man was too busy shaking his fist at iCloud.
Yes.
Hey, don't. Why do you have to keep updating your apps? Isn't that what he said to the head of
to
Apple?
Tim Cook, the head of Apple.
Of all the questions about like tax loopholes, he's like, why do I have to update my app so much? Arr!
He didn't update his Google app. That's why he didn't know that they were kidnappers.
That's why he went by way of Turkey?
Ma Bell never made me update my apps.
That's right. Okay, let's see. The spokesman said if the man in the photo turns out to actually be Mohammed Noor, that is regrettable.
Yeah.
Oh, Grandpa.
I expect you'll want to see my angry, crotchety Grandpa discount card.
Oh, right. Sir, this card is expired.
But it's good for a lifetime.
Well, yours expired.
All right. There he is. He's looking, you see, with this little group of, I wonder, because, you know, they're new friends, so they probably haven't heard the story yet. You think he told them the Youngin Belt story? Maybe he did. He's like,
we
you know.
We can't bust heads like we used to. But we have our ways.
Oh, you got it.
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville.
Mm-hmm.
I needed a new heel for my shoe.
I can see one of the rebels rolling his eyes right now.
I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they call Shelbyville in those days.
We knew that.
So I tied an onion to my belt.
Why?
Which was the style at the time.
Oh.
Now, to take the ferry cost a nickel.
I kill you now.
In those days, nickels had pictures of bumblebees
pouring
on them.
Gasoline on them.
I would give myself.
People in airplanes.
Yes. Like
now, where were we? Oh, yeah. The important thing was that I had an onion on my belt, which was a style at the time. They didn't have white onions.
Why not?
Because of the war.
Oh.
He doesn't
the
need
only
help.
Thing you could get was those big yellow ones.
You were the sweet husky boy, little grandson, weren't you?
Yes.
You felt like you had to help Grampy.
I did.
Even though you knew he didn't need any help.
Why,
really,
Grampy, why?
Really? You've only heard it like 75 times. Really, Grampy, why?
Why?
Why? Really?
They why did you need
I
to do help for your
that.
Shoe?
What did they call?
Oh,
Shelbyville
of the war.
At the time? Grampy, why didn't they have, why couldn't you get those onions?
Because of the war?
You're such a sweet little, you're probably nice to your grandparents because you didn't have any friends.
Were the onions drafted?
Way to bring up those memories, Steph.
He was probably your only friend. That's very sweet.
It was so Grandpa.
Right. You're. Aww. And who was your? You were a latchkey kid, and your mom was a.
Brett Summers from Match Game.
Right. So you
I could
happy,
do worse.
You were happy to see because you were getting a little bored with her since she had a babysitch every day, and so when Grampy came over, you were probably thrilled with the Youngin Belt story.
Absolutely.
Oh yay, Grampy! Yay! Tell me again. How were there bumblebees on the coins?
I was just happy to hear someone other than Brett Summers talk about their marriage to Jack Klugman.
Oh, it's a Friday show. It's
Charles Nelson Reilly didn't talk about his marriage?
No.
Okay.
It's weird. Huh. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Everybody talking about big dogs.
Bill Clinton?
Yeah. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, it's our personal favorite, Jim. Why, look
speaking of funny and smart, I want to bring on Tina Dupree.
Oh. Tina Dupuy is brilliant. She's funny. She's a terrific writer.
Tina does everything, and I just love her already.
Oh, God. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm fabulous. Another hilarious piece. As I was saying this morning, all of us that engage in the comedic enterprises in mourning over Michelle Bachmann, and you're doing the best you can with a brilliant piece. Bachmann's retirement delivers a death blow to the 1850s, which was historically and comedically brilliant.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. the thing with the Tea Party is that, you know, they kind of like to pretend that they're this new alternative grassroots organization that just kind of sprang up from nowhere. And they like to dress like the founding fathers for some inexplicable reason.
Right. And they engage primarily in social welfare, as they told the IRS, as you know.
Right. Well, that was the thing. They keep on saying that they were targeted and target denotes that like they were just kind of hanging out, being cool and dressing in tri-corner hats.
Right.
When the government went after them. And what they were doing was they were asking for a government handout. They want tax-free or they want a tax-free status, a tax-exempt status. So they can have anonymous donors.
Right.
I mean, they should be scrutinized.
Yep. And by the way, you've helpfully included a photo. And who doesn't look like a dork in a tri-color corner hat, I ask you?
Right. Well, they went to the Unity Rally right before. Right. They called it a Unity Rally. It was a Tea Party rally right before, hosted by Michelle Bachmann, right before the RNC this year. And it was down in Florida, and it was during the middle of a hurricane. And there was all these people with tri-corner hats in it. And I'm like, you know, if you're that close to the Caribbean, you look like a pirate.
We understand what you're trying to do with your little skit. However, we're looking for Johnny Depp somewhere. But you, as you say, which pretty much sums up the Tea Party crowd, historically inaccurate, attached to the Republican Party, and welcomed by Michelle Bachmann. But you provided some historical context, I thought, that was really interesting.
Right. Well, I mean, their real lineage is the Know Nothing Party, or the Know Nothing movement of the 1850s. And, you know, and they were against immigrants, anti-Catholic. They were, vehemently opposed to the Pope, and they were also teetotalers randomly. But, you know, they kind of, there was this, in the 1850s, there were a bunch of new immigrants coming and the economy was changing. You would find people talking, using the name, olden timer, lamenting the railroads coming in and ruining their town.
Right.
So there was new technology stuff.
Right.
Stuff was changing, and then you had all these people who were coming in, these foreigners, and they were going to fight against that. And so they called themselves the Native American Party, and they felt like they were going to be usurped by these newcomers. And so that's pretty much what happened in 2009 when the Tea Party kind of came to be. There was a guy with a weird name, a black dude in the White House, and the economy kind of tanked, and all of a sudden they erupt in, let's call it racism.
Right. What's it called now? As our friend Randy Rhodes would say, there's nothing new under the sun, 38 after.
Right.
But it's true.
Right,
you quote the book, The Origins of the Republican Party, and this is, we hear this now in the immigration debate. You say, workers felt threatened by the wave of new arrivals. The past was better, their future uncertain, their enemy obvious, others. Suddenly the fraternal order of nativists known as the Know-Nothing sprung into power and influence. So you're right. This is, and as you say, it's happened before. It'll happen again.
Right. And what happens with their reaction is that they want non-professionals to be their representatives. So they lash out first at the professional politician, because those are the people who are clearly messing everything up, and they have not protected them from the others. So they find other professional politicians who pretend, a la Michelle Bachmann, that they are not well-funded, that they are not, actual politicians, and to represent them. And it kind of like it's this vacuum that gives rise to these kind of fringe politicians, and that's exactly what happened with the Tea Party movement, and that's what happened with the Know Nothing.
And by the way, meanwhile, Michelle Bachmann may have been a little too well-funded, according to the FBI and the FBI. FEC.
Yep.
I love that you say she gleefully hopped onto the elder rage bandwagon in the wake of the economic meltdown coupled with the first black president. It really is. I mean, we joked about it right at the time, Tina, but it's the people saying, get your government hands off my Medicare. It was that crowd that is.
Yeah, no,
it's like
I mean,
the dummy
Tea Party rally
contingent.
No, it's fantastic. I was the last one I went to, Herman Cain was there. And of course, I don't want to disappoint you because he fully ended with Pokemon. But before his big closer, he said, you know, and I have something for you, 99% crowd, get a job. And then all the retirees gave him a standing ovation. We use it as a cliche, but it really is true. I mean, they are, you know, average age of 117.
Yeah. But I, you know, you make another historical analogy. The Tea Party and Bachman are as inseparable as the Know Nothings and Millard Fillmore, one of the lowest ranked presidents in the history of the country. And it's interesting, though, your final point, you say, whatever happened to the Know Nothings? They did their damage. They killed the Whig Party, disenfranchised and intimidated immigrants, stalled the Washington Monument's construction by stealing the Pope Stone. And then after 15 years or so, they were forgotten. So you say, what will happen to Michelle Bachman and her beloved Tea Party? They've yet to break the Republican Party's back, although they left it with a considerable limp. What do you think happens now? Because she's certainly the most entertaining of the Tea Party crazies.
I don't think she goes away. I think that she's, you know, right now, what she has to do right now is quit on her own terms. If she decided to stay in Congress, she would have lost her seat, and then she would have been, she would be less politically viable. But now she's quitting on her own terms, so I'm expecting another book. I'm expecting, you know, her basically to go. I don't think the Heritage Foundation is going to hire her, but I think that she's going to be, you know, she's going to continue to be in the public eye. She's really good at saying really insane stuff and making us all crazy.
Yep.
She's going to continue to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think that she's not a very effective lawmaker in the first place. She didn't really do much she wasn't really in Congress when she was in Congress.
Right.
So I think that it's going to be really, this is going to be a lateral move. She'll just have less of a government paycheck.
And Marcus, what's to become of Marcus, Tina? Will there, you know, I mean, my dream, there will be a baby boy in his future and he will come out and become a gay rights advocate. What do you think?
Come out.
Look, Stephanie, just because you go shopping for doggy sunglasses in Iowa in January does not make you gay. How dare you?
I have a new dream. Speaking of, you know, straight men from Minnesota, that he and Larry Craig will come out together and get gay married.
What do you think of that?
Now that that is possible in Minnesota, what do you think?
Well, I think that gay marriage kind of sounded like a good idea until that idea.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Steph.
Oh, come on. If you put it to music, Tina, come on.
Can I just
with
try
me.
Gay marriage?
Here we go. Come on, everybody. Dance. All right. Oh, just, you know, a girl can dream. All right, Tina Dupuy.
Big Craig suffered enough.
Great stuff as always. Bachman's Retirement delivers the death load of the 1850s. We have a link up to it. It is fabulous.
And it's at thecontributor.com.
Exactly. Love you, honey. See you next time. Don't mean that in a gay way.
You're the best, Stephanie.
Yes, you do.
Well, all right. Shut up, Jim. All right. Love you. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Aw.
She's the cutest. Mm-hmm. But the people in the tricorner hats in that photo are just.
Arr.
Arr.
Mm-hmm.
Artie in Texas.
Shiver me timbers.
Artie in Texas, hello.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
How you doing?
Go ahead, yeah.
Okay, well, I was calling about this thing about John McCain going over to Syria or wherever he went.
Right. Right.
It's really a shame to see how sad he's turning out to be. But my point is whatever he did was ridiculous. And if there's no way they're going to put us in another war right now. Who's going to volunteer? And then if they make it a draft, I'm taking my sons and we're going north or south or
somewhere.
Some direction.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, I think it's him trying to look butch for Lindsey Graham.
Okay. He's butching it up.
Right.
We don't have wars anymore. We just do drone strikes.
Stephanie in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Steph.
Okay,
turn your radio. Right. Okay, let's go to Jack in Indiana. Hi, Jack.
Hi, it's Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I watched my hearing is not the best, but I watched a show. It was a war between the Mafia and the KKK. The KKK was established because they could not accept the outcome of the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And they denied immigration. They were for voter suppression. They had their own idea of the Constitution. They denied reality, for example, the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
The Tea Party pushes the same thing. They are the KKK without the masks. You listen to Gohmert, Ted Cruz, Rubio, they push just what the KKK stood for.
Right. Yes, thank you, Jack. I appreciate that. Okay, I understood the story. Okay, 45. Sorry, I was. I thought we had an actual Larry Craig I'm coming out because it's my new dream. That's all I was asking for. All right.
I have to find it. It's
okay. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A mecca of misdemeanors.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. What? I didn't have my mic on. Listen, I'm having a bad morning. 50 minutes after the hour.
Why are you having a bad morning?
Because Michelle Bachman is leaving Congress. But I do have a new dream. You know me. Happy clappy.
Yes, you are.
Happy clappy. Brand new dream.
What?
That Marcus Bachman and Larry Craig come out together and get gay married. Now that's legal in Minnesota. Come on.
Coming
out. Say it.
Out.
Yes.
No, I am not.
Do it.
I'm coming out.
Out.
I never have been gay. No.
Am I romantic?
Maybe now.
Well, I'm coming out because I am
the bad boy, a naughty boy.
Yeah. Dirty, even a nasty boy.
Bad, naughty boy.
Barbarians need to be disciplined.
He needs someone to discipline him. Marcus is just the man for the job.
You're a dirty, nasty, dirty, dirty, nasty little boy.
We have to understand, barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined.
Right. Especially the really nasty, nasty, naughty
they
boys.
They need eye cream, my baby boys.
Barbara in, they're both at an age they could use some eye cream. Barbara in Florida. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
Hi.
This is the first time I've called, but I am really upset about something.
Uh-oh.
And my upset is that with all the things that Congress isn't doing, 10 of them took the time to go and see Dan Snyder and ask him to change the name of the Washington Redskins. That was really important, wasn't it?
Oh, is that what they did? Well,
yeah.
At least they did something. All right. It is an offensive name. I'm just saying. But all right,
yeah.
They could also I undo the sequester. Well, might be a good idea.
Washington yeah. Native Americans is a little clunky.
I had two friends who were sequestered or furloughed yesterday because of the sequester down in San Diego.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. The people are not paying attention that this is starting. I mean, just when the economy is really recovering,
right.
I mean it is gonna it's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
People, you know, it's not a sexy thing to talk about. People are like, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. And these two friends, they're going to be getting 20% less pay for the rest of the year, and they can't collect unemployment. They can't look for another job.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think I just read
insane.
I'm trying to find it. I don't know exactly. You know, the exact economic indicator, but it's starting to. Oh, here it is. I got it.
Okay.
And nobody help me. Nobody help me. Oh, look, I cut myself again getting this. U.S. GDP. A drop in government spending dragged more on the U.S. economy than initially thought in the first 3 months of the year, a sign of increasing pain from Washington's austerity drive.
Yeah.
Growth was held back as government spending fell across all levels of government, and as business outside the farm sector stocked their shelves at a slower pace. Economic growth has been surprisingly resilient, supported by the Federal Reserve's low interest rate policies. Most economists, though, expect growth will slow mid-year as more budget cuts come into effect.
Because austerity's worked so well in Europe, we would try it.
Hello, Greece for you on line one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. This is an interesting, the Daily Beast has an interesting piece, though, which who knows if this will break the, what is it, fever the president talked about the Republican Party having? I doubt it, but you never know. Daily Beast says, as GOP senators block Obama's nominees, Democrats prepare a nuclear option. This is, you know, what we've all been talking about. Republicans, this is Jamie Jamel, don't know him. And the Daily Beast said Republicans have overplayed their hand on federal court nominations, leaving the president in a win-win position. Because at some point, like we've been talking about Bob Dole's comments and others, you can't. This government, I don't think people get it, has come to a standstill.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just look at judicial nominations, it is unprecedented. They write in the Daily Beast, for most of the last century, this has been a straightforward and uncontroversial process. Judicial nominations. I mean, there have been some exceptions, people, you know, way outside the judicial mainstream. But for the most part, the Senate confirms who the White House selects. Over the last 4 years, however, the process has hit a snag. Republicans have been relentless in obstructing the flow of judicial confirmations under President Obama. There are 79 vacancies on the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Just a few of them have filled. Some, the GOP is deliberately blocking Obama from naming replacements regardless of qualifications. This is not over qualifications. Overall, Republicans have filibustered Obama's judicial nominees at a higher rate than the picks of any other president in modern history.
They want to destroy the country to make Obama look bad.
Absolutely.
And Daily Beast writing, it's hard to overstate the damage this has done to Obama's agenda. The D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, it's now stacked with conservatives, and that's why they're doing this. So the conservative majority has struck down regulations on Wall Street, the environment, health care.
Mm-hmm.
But they're saying it'll be interesting how this played out. You should pay close attention, they say, to President Obama's decision to fill the three vacancies on the D.C. Court of Appeals. What he did is he nominated three people all at once.
Right.
Obama is daring the GOP to act with past nominees to this court. Republicans have cited extraordinary circumstances, quote unquote, to justify their filibusters. In this case, however, Republicans would have to conjure three such circumstances, a plain instance of obstructionism. I mean, really, they're going to have some reason while all three of them are wildly inappropriate. Mm-hmm. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has begun to threaten rules reform by a simple majority, what lawmakers call the nuclear option. He has the president's support, and he has privately signaled Reid, the president, to take that route if Republicans filibuster all three of the nominees. I think it's the larger story that the Daily Beast is pointing out. They're saying the fight has one of two outcomes. They're both wins for Obama. Either Republicans filibuster the nominees, the Democrats go with the nuclear option and finally change the rules, giving him more flexibility to pursue his agenda and breaking a key tool for GOP obstruction, or Republicans allow the process to go unimpeded and the nominees are confirmed to the circuit court, breaking the GOP's hold and blunting one of their most effective platforms for opposition. They're using this D.C. Court of Appeals for everything, you know, to block everything. In both cases, Daily Beast finishing, Obama emerges with new advantages, which will be critical as he begins to move on the environment and other issues. So, we'll see how it plays out, but he says this is where the president will make his stand against the GOP's categorical opposition to governance. If he's successful, it'll be one of the most major victories of his presidency and perhaps the beginning of the end for the Republican Party's fever.
Yeah.
Remember, he said after the election, maybe this fever will break and we'll be able to get something done together? Yeah, so
nope.
Far.
He says no.
No, not exactly. The president yesterday.
For me to govern effectively over the next three and a half years, part of my task is to constantly, continually reach out to the other side to try to find common ground.
Let's go to...
Yeah, how's that working out for you?
Well, yeah.
Tina in South Carolina. Hi, Tina.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, Moogs.
Hello.
I had a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
In any time in your history, do you remember a presidential candidate that has been so vitriolic and so bitter as John McCain?
No, actually. I don't recall that.
I mean, it's like he's gone to Syria. Well, if they won't let me be president,
I'm just going to pretend to be. Yeah, exactly.
Actually, Mitt Romney is coming close. He's been out there really bashing the president since he lost.
And being vitriolic to do that.
Yeah, but my at least he doesn't. Sorry, honey, we're out of time this hour. But he doesn't talk at least as much. You know, I mean,
yeah,
the things
right.
he said are pretty bitter and whiny.
Yeah.
But thank God he doesn't.
Yeah, that's
talk
why
much.
I said Romney comes close.
He's
but
too busy
nobody
pumping his own gas, looking like a hobo.
Bless his heart.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. Email's there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. All right, kids, you know, I'm on the CNN every now and again.
Were you on last night?
No.
Oh.
I was booked and bumped like I normally am.
Bumped for that woman in the Mexican prison?
No.
Because that was the breaking news overnight.
No.
Okay.
Something else.
Oh.
Okay. They don't need much of a reason. All right, but I'm on with Dean. Am I going to say this right?
Yes,
I am. Dean Abadala, who mm-hmm. is a comedian and also friend of John Fugelsang.
Yeah.
Who will join us next hour, sexy mm-hmm. liberal John Fugelsang. Comedian extraordinaire. Hello, Dean. Good morning, sir.
Thanks, Stephanie. We get bumped all the time on that right. damn breaking news.
Right.
Why is there so much breaking news?
Right. Why can't the news just stop? We have things to say.
We have things to banter for 3 to 4 minutes. Let us banter. I don't know why they won't let us. So ridiculous.
It's a lot more drive time and hair and makeup than it is talk time, but whatever.
Exactly. I know.
So you wrote a great piece, though, for CNN.com about the anti-Muslim backlash in England, but not here. And it was an interesting case study, though, that you talk about, you know, in terms of this horrific hacking death in England as opposed
right.
to the Boston Marathon bombing. And obviously you're Muslim, so you had an interesting take on it.
Well, thanks. I mean, the point of the article was, I was taken back by what happened. First of all, the attack in England was horrific, and that man is an insane murderer. The guy who killed, the unarmed soldier who was just walking and
right.
minding his business and living his life. But since that, in 1 week, there's been nearly 200 anti-Muslim incidents in the UK, ranging from, violent threats to minor assaults to actually firebombing a mosque and vandalism against mosques across England. And it's been shocking to me, after the Boston bombing, it was really almost non-existent. There was a few little incidents. A woman was, pushed around and called a terrorist. A Bangladeshi man in New York got beaten up. But we almost didn't see anything else. And to me, I think it really is a testament to who we are as a nation, that we truly come from this melting pot background. While in England, they've been English for so long. I think they view, Muslims and other minorities more as a threat. And don't get me wrong, there are Americans who view this the same way, but our DNA as a nation is different.
Right.
That's
what
it's really about.
You talk about, we have these Islamophobes, that's their business. They're, the hate
yeah.
and fear-mongering and all that. But you were saying, the backlash was minor. But in England, I didn't realize you said it wasn't spontaneous, the anti-Muslim fervor. It was an organized campaign led by a right-wing group, English Defense League, which
right.
I didn't realize. Their leader said, you quote him as saying, they've had their Arab Spring, now it's time for the English Spring. And of course, one of the things you point out is the soldiers were Nigerian, not Arab. But
the guys who killed
yeah.
the soldier were not Arab;
yeah.
they were Nigerian. But bigots aren't the brightest guy. I don't care if the UK or the
yeah.
US. We've dealt with bigots; they're not the brightest.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. And Russell Brand, the comedian, who I really didn't know well, wrote a great article in The Sun, and he's actually a guest on a podcast I host for CNN this week, because he came on to talk about his article about how he was so taken back and how he implored his fellow Brits to, let's not do what the terrorists want. They want to divide us. They want sectarianism. They want people to be pitted religion against each other.
Right.
But over there, it wasn't happenstance. You do have the English Defense League, which is an organization which they had thousands of people in the streets rallying in London and Newcastle against the Muslims. The good thing was, though, in York, in part of England, there was an EDL protest, and the people in the mosque invited them in, and they actually came into the mosque, and they had tea and biscuits and played football together, and they found some common ground. So human beings are human beings. Sometimes politics drives us apart, these
yeah.
leaders.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you were saying, you know, a couple of the reasons you thought after Boston there was not the same thing here. You said, you know, not only did the American Muslim community quickly denounce the bombing, but people of other faiths publicly stood with Muslim American Muslims, including Jewish and Christian leaders in the Boston area. You know, that and just as you were saying about our nation's DNA, about e pluribus unum, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a big part of it. And in England, just so it's clear to people listening, every major Muslim group instantly denounced it. They got on the media, they forcefully denounced the attack. I think the difference is here, there's a lot of interfaith work in America with the Muslim community, with Christian and Jewish groups since 9/11. I think there wasn't a lot before 9/11 with the Muslim community. So now we have a lot more. So like after Boston bombing, there was Rabbi Mark Schneer, who did a lot of great interfaith work with Russell Simmons and Imam Shamsa Ali, who's the vice president of the World Jewish Congress, wrote a great article about Muslims and how the Boston bombing did not represent them. You had, you know, Christian and Jewish leaders in the Boston area standing together with the Muslim leaders. That sounds such a great message. And that's real. I wasn't trying to pat America on its back, but it made me proud of America to see this happening. And, you know, don't get me wrong, we're not perfect. We've had, look at the spike in gay hate crimes in just New York City. I live in the bluest city in the country, and there's been 24.
Mm-hmm. Right. Dean, do you think, we were talking about that on the show, do you think that's a backlash for marriage equality passing in New York, or what do you, is it not that specific?
I think, you know, I was recently on a friend of mine radio show. We had callers come in from the Midwest and stuff who said they were against any kind of anti-gay backlash like that, but they said we're tired of it being stuffed in our face and saying you have to accept this or you're a bigot. And I think there is some level of that. I can't have insight into the mind of a bigot, but I mean, a gay man walking in the streets of New York shot to death, not much different than a British soldier being killed by a Muslim extremist, because there's a political agenda involved when you're killing a gay person in the streets of New York because you're afraid of marriage equality or that the gays are going to have an agenda to take over this country. And that's fueled by people like Brian Fisher from the American Family Association and Pat Robertson. And you hear these Christian extremists employing people to be afraid of gays, and then you see violence from it. It's no different to me than the radical Muslim clerics. The West is horrible, and then it leads to violence.
Yeah.
Connection.
Well, I mean, you say that, you know, that we're never going to end all hate crimes in a nation of more than 300 million people. But, you know, as you say, at least the reaction to the Boston bombings in marked contrast with England's reaction, it shows we're on the right path, right?
Yes. No, I think we're always getting better. But, you know, I fight on Twitter with the Tea Party people, and I play a game. How many tweets do you get them to show their bigotry? It's usually two or three.
Yeah.
And then they really show it. So it's a real game. I implore everyone who listens to your show, play with the Tea Party. They'll always tell you they have a black friend. Bring up Islam. They have no problem telling you they hate Muslims. Like, I'm dealing with Tea Party leaders on Twitter saying, well, Muslims want to take over the country and they want to kill. So now they've come out, they've removed their hood, and they're festering some of the hate. But thankfully, the Tea Party is being marginalized more and more, and it's less relevant. There's always going to be haters. There's always be a Klan in America. There'll always be a neo-Nazis. We have to push up against them and build alliances of good people against the haters. And really, we have that obligation to stand up collectively as good people.
Yeah. Well, and I love, like, you know, the haters come in all kind of stripes. I mean, this latest Ryson guy, it's just like, you know, really? If you take my gun there, I'm going to poison you. Proving the point that some people should not have weapons of any kind, right?
Well, I agree with you, and it's amazing going to Mayor Bloomberg and his lobbying group, which is trying to get reasonable gun control laws. But that's an isolated guy, and, you know, we can easily go, you see, that's what they're all like. And, you know, that's, I think, the challenge for all of us is not to define, and I'm not suggesting you're doing this, but all of us can easily go, well, you see, they're all crazy. They want to poison you if you want to have gun control. But this, you know, a ratcheting up of rhetoric and fear, and, you know, and the reason I put the idea about the anti-gay crimes, that, you know, in my own community, the Muslim community, there is some hesitance to accept marriage equality. I don't see a demonization of gays, thankfully. But, you know, I want my community to come around in America. The idea, if we're going to fight against discrimination against us, we must fight against discrimination against any other American group. So marriage equality to me is about discrimination. We have to fight against the same thing with anti-Semitism.
What's that?
We must fight against black, anything. We must stand with people being demonized or being marginalized or being discriminated against.
Right.
It's our obligation.
Right. It's that old poem about, you know, when they came for the, you know, fill in the blank group, I didn't say anything, and then when they came for me, there was no one left to stand up for me.
Right.
So
we got to do it.
Very well said,
True.
Sir.
Thank you very much.
Well said, well written. I will see you back on CNN unless we're bumped as usual. But
God willing. Say hi to John Fugel saying.
I will.
My buddy. I love John.
I will. All right, Dean. Thanks so much. Talk to you again real soon.
Take care.
All right. Bye. There he goes. Dean Abadala.
Yeah.
Comedian extraordinaire. Yes. Another Ryson letter to the president now, not just to Mayor Bloomberg. A Ryson Lace letter addressed to President Obama, intercepted before reaching the president. And first
you
of all,
know
you're
the
a dummy if you think the president
open his own mail.
Right? I bet you, boy, is he going to be surprised when he opens this up. Hey, Lurleen.
I think I just gave him an upgrade by calling him a half-wit.
Right. Yeah. Sorry.
Full wit.
Letter was similar to the sent
quarter
last
wit.
Week to New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg and the gun control group he backs.
Mm-hmm.
The Ray Kelly, New York City Police Commission.
The letter, in essence, complains about gun control and says that anyone who comes for my guns will be shot in the face.
Yes, proving that that guy should not have a gun.
Guns.
Thanks
yeah.
for playing, proving our point entirely.
Mm-hmm.
The text of the letter to the president, identical to the one sent to Bloomberg, including the line, what's in this letter is nothing compared to what I've got planned for you. All right. Buford.
Guns don't kill people, but if you come for my gun, I'll shoot you.
Right.
Oh, wait.
All right, Buford.
I found a logical fallacy in my argument.
Yeah, he uses the word fallacy a lot, I bet.
Yep.
Yeah. The threatening letters to Bloomberg and the Washington office of his gun control organization, Mayors Against Illegal Guns, both reference the debate on gun laws. Bloomberg, by the way, said in terms of why they've done it, I don't know. The letter obviously referred to our anti-gun efforts, but there's 12,000 people who are going to get killed this year with guns, 19,000 that are going to commit suicide with guns, and we're not going to walk away from these efforts. Good for you. Good for you. He's not easily flustered.
No.
Representative Peter King, Republican of New York.
Well, that's what that seems. Now, it could, always, it could also be somebody on the other side, you know, trying to make their point by, you know, blaming the... people who believe in gun rights.
Okay, whatever, Peter. My point is...
What?
In another episode of Proving Our Point Entirely, gun in third grader's backpack goes off inside elementary school.
Great.
A Minneapolis third grader somehow obtained a handgun, carried it to school in his backpack, and accidentally discharged the weapon. His classes were letting out Tuesday. Thankfully, no one was injured in the incident. Police still investigating how the child obtained the weapon. I'm going to go out on a limb and say because his parents are doofuses.
Mm-hmm. Could be. But there was a good
Maybe.
Guy with a gun. See?
There
He's
you go.
He's doing his patriotic
right.
duty.
Right.
Mm.
The NRA, by the way, has consistently warned parents not to lock up their guns, which I think is helpful in every regard.
Mm.
You? Yes,
because there's so
you
many.
Be ready in an emergency, and yeah.
So many children remain unshot.
Right. So many kids are going to school unarmed.
Oh, boy.
All right. Okay. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. More synthesizer, please. I can't get enough.
Synth has its place.
That lacks sincerity. 22 minutes after the hour.
Jeez.
1-800-STEP.
Who
mood.
Crapped on your synthesizer this morning?
Wow, I thought I ate all the bitchy this
yeah.
morning. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by SodaStream. All right, Kelly in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
That fun wow is really loud through a phone.
Right? Sorry about that.
Listen, ever since the soldier was killed in England and now this new Ryson letter was sent, I've been thinking, I personally don't believe that all Muslims are terrorists.
Really?
And the man who killed that soldier, I would like to tell the Muslim, the radical Muslims out there that not everybody thinks that Muslims are terrorists.
Right.
And they seem to start getting this. There's so much damn hatred in this world right now, it's making me sick.
Yeah.
And the same goes with the NRA. We don't believe that everybody that owns a gun is a criminal.
Right.
But if they would take the time and their money, the NRA, I mean, to get gangs together on a positive ground and try to, you know, get the information out to the criminals.
Right. Right. Muslims, well, I mean, it's, you know.
The Muslims need to talk to the Muslims who are causing problems.
Yeah, well, we all do. I mean, and this, the Rising guy is just an idiot in the first place because no one, pay attention. Nobody is proposing anything about taking anyone's guns. That's not in anybody's, even the strictest gun control advocate.
Well, you would like to.
Oh, well, I'm a gun grabber. That's why I'm not in charge. Okay.
I'm a girl watcher.
Right?
I'm a gun grabber.
Excuse me?
What? It's a song.
Hmm. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
The tax code mostly benefits the rich.
Huh, what?
I guess we needed this study, didn't we?
Who paid for this study?
I don't know.
The rich.
Because they have all the money.
No. The new Congressional Budget Office report on our nation's largest tax breaks. It's a useful and factual reminder that for all of the heated political rhetoric we hear about big government, that big government is still tilted in favor of those who need help the least.
Mm-hmm.
The new report finds, in short, that a hugely outsized percentage of tax deductions, which can be thought of as government expenditures.
Sure.
Who's the real moochers now? Moochie McMoochersons. Accrue to the wealthiest households in America. The top 20% of income earners get more than half of all tax break revenue. The top 1% of income earners get 17%. So, there. Oh, this one's going to make the amnesty crowd on the right explode. For Medicare, immigrants offer a surplus, a new study finds.
Uh-oh.
Oh, some inconvenience studies.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Immigrants have contributed billions of dollars more to Medicare in recent years than the program has paid out on their behalf. Part two of Who Are the Moochers Now? According to a new study, a pattern that goes against the notion that immigrants are a drain on federal health care spending, which we're going to hear a lot as the immigration debate continues. A study by researchers at Harvard Medical School shows that immigrants help cover the growing costs of Medicare and Social Security. Oh, dear. The fun facts, it found that immigrants generated surpluses totaling $115 billion from 2002 to 2009. In comparison, the American-born population incurred a deficit of $28 billion over the same period.
So I guess we should all go back where we came from.
Thoughtful chin scratch. Immigrants are crucial in balancing the age structure of American society, providing an infusion of young working age adults who support the country's aging population and help cover the costs of Medicare and Social Security. And with the largest generation in the United States, the baby boomers now starting to retire, the financial help from immigrants has never been more needed, according to experts. That's right-wing heads.
Exploding
right.
across
Exploding.
The nation.
Exploding.
Mostly across the South.
Right, right. Oh, speaking of which, just got to do this one. Louisiana lawmakers?
Yep.
The Louisiana House Education Committee? I don't know why that seems like a little contradiction in terms. Voted to keep a 1981 creationism law in the books, despite a Supreme Court ruling that found it to be unconstitutional. They've decided creationism trumps the Constitution.
Hmm.
Until it was struck down in 1987, the state's Balanced Treatment for Creation Science and Evolution Science Act.
Herp-derp.
Yeah, the acronym is Herp-derp. Gave equal weight to the Christian creation story and evolutionary science, mandating that teachers, quote, provide insight into both theories in view of the textbooks and other instructional materials available for use in his classroom.
I'm really a fan of the gravity is a hoax.
Right.
Theory. Yeah.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. I think that is abbreviated Herp-derp.
Herp-derp. That's the acronym.
Exactly, for short.
Yeah.
You feel free to abbreviate.
DOI, for short.
DOI.
Yeah.
That word is underused.
I'm
going to bring it back.
Yes, DOI.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
First, we're here with this gal my kid said was a thing.
Stephanie Miller.
Woohoo! I'm famous again!
Yay! 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Chris in Yankton, the captain of the PC Police, writes, Steph, I refer to the Washington professional football team as the Washington Indigenous Persons.
Yes.
Or simply the Persons. So there.
Whip. Washington Indigenous Persons. Whips.
Exactly.
Whips versus Chains.
Oh, and Tommy in Columbus with another edition of Grammy. Did you sit on the apple pie? The picture of John McCain with the, you know, the kidnappers. Yeah. These fun-loving guys like to kidnap people and cut off their fingers to send to relatives with their ransom notes. Let's hope that Grampy didn't ask one of them
kids.
To pull my finger. Wow!
Did not see that coming?
Oh! All right, you have a new Twitter. The kids on the Twitter machine have done something.
Well, no, a study has been done trying to determine the happiest and saddest cities based on tweets from those cities.
Right.
And Napa, California was the winner of the happiest city with residents frequently tweeting words such as wine, restaurant,
coincidence,
and cheers.
I think not.
No.
Beaumont, Texas came in last. Aww. Twitter users there used more swear words as well as words such as hate, stupid, ugly, and smoke.
Smoke?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
And probably other words.
Oh, lots of swear words.
Yeah.
Coming from Beaumont, Texas.
Yeah.
Yes. But Maine and Hawaii were the happiest states.
Aw. Hmm. Aw. Wine. It's not a problem. It's a solution.
That's right.
Let's go to Irene in Baltimore. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Irene.
Hi, Stephanie. How
Hello.
Are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Stephanie, I am so sick and tired of these people trying to undermine our president, including liberal talk show hosts who just take it on and on when they find anything least negative about the administration.
Yep.
They try to blow it up. You know, they're just as bad as those Republicans.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Who criticize all the time.
That's why I like, we had Michael Tomasky on yesterday, and he was taking Maureen Dowd to task, who, I also think unfairly criticizes the president sometimes. He does not have Lyndon Johnson's majorities. It's always the, you know, I could do better, I guess. You know, it's like, oh, the president should this or that. And you know, the fact is nobody has dealt with this. We just did a story, Irene, about his judicial nominations. Nobody in history has put up with this level of obstruction.
Oh, I know. And then look at me. I believe most of these Democrats, as well as those Republicans, are jealous of him because of the power he has.
Yeah.
And also because of the intelligence that he has.
Yep, yep.
I mean, everyone who ran for president last year and had the intelligence of him.
Yep, yep.
When they thought debates were going to be blown out because he's black, really.
Yeah. Oh, and he doesn't have his teleprompter. That was the other joke.
Yeah.
And they would usually read that, a line off a teleprompter.
Off a teleprompter.
Yeah.
The president uses a teleprompter.
Could somebody move the prompter? Okay. The president's carny on the AP thing.
He has asked the attorney general to meet with media organizations. He has asked the attorney general to review policies and procedures that govern the way the Justice Department approaches these issues and to report back to him on that review.
You know, it seems like Eric Holder, we were saying yesterday, is taking this seriously. The problem is because they cry wolf so much over everything, starting with Fast and Furious, which, you know, it's hard to... I mean, I think that's the thing. They just reflexively criticize anything the president does or his administration when, you know, they're on record as screaming to prosecute leaks more strenuously. They hauled him in front of a committee to yell at him for not prosecuting. This was however long ago it was, but at any rate. Not a douche nozzle, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas.
It's unprecedented. And the degree of willingness of this administration to target a reporter for this network as an unindicted co-conspirator, that is without precedent. And unfortunately, I think it's part and parcel of a pattern from this administration of not respecting the Bill of Rights.
What?
There is a precedent for you, by the way, Joe McCarthy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Obama's a constitutional lawyer. He does respect the Bill of Rights, sir.
Senator Cruz.
This Department of Justice has demonstrated a willingness to disregard the law.
What?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right, Watergate, blah, 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 blah. You know,
is his voice getting higher? It seems like the more he talks, the higher his voice gets. I don't know. What's that all about?
I have a list of tiny communists.
I have a tiny list of communists in the State Department.
He was born in Canada, so maybe that's it.
That'd be funny.
He was born in a helium factory.
He pulled out like a little list the size of like a bubblegum wrapper. I have a tiny list.
Written on the back of a Bazooka Joe card.
Yeah.
Hold it up to a mirror.
Yeah.
I can read if I hold it up to a mirror. The communist, presently.
Let me get my x-ray glasses.
Okay. The Daily Beast with a good piece, speaking of unprecedented, about that aforementioned douche nozzle, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Marco.
Rubio.
Mike Lee, when freshmen attack. It's sort of like a, you know, right? It's like Jaws, but it's a yeah. To stay quiet and respect your elders, not these Senate newcomers. For the last 200 years, the U.S. Senate has been an institution governed by precedent, a mannerly chamber where traditions are preserved, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sort of minimum level of, you know, respect. And like Bob Dole said, we got our work done.
Yep.
Not anymore. But a battle raging over the federal budget has changed all that, stalling a House-Senate conference on the budget for more than 2 months and exposing a deep divide within the Republican Party between long-serving moderates and a quartet. Oh, they're a little quartet. Party freshmen. Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Mike Lee, and Marco Rubio, who say the Senate is not only incapable of solving the country's problems, the Senate is the problem. The four men differ in temperament and backgrounds, but together are both roiling Senate elders and accumulating power at an unprecedented pace. It's all about their own power and like wrecking the joint rather than making it work.
And taking bites out of people.
Right. And not answering the census. Everybody has to react to them. McCain reacts to them. McConnell has to shape his agenda to react to Rand Paul, said one veteran Republican staffer. I mean, that's the thing. A lot of people don't know what's going on, the inner workings in Washington, but this is, it really is what Bob Dole just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The four have joined forces with Mitch McConnell against much of the rest of their party 11 times to block a meeting, to block a meeting between House and Senate negotiators over the last 2 months unless they can get a commitment that the nation's debt ceiling will not be raised in the budget agreement process.
Oh, come on.
McCain scolded the men whom he called a minority within the minority. We're here to vote. We're not here to block things, said John McCain. I mean, this is like John McCain, who's, you know, busy posing with terrorists
right.
in Syria, but at least he has, like, you know, he has some sense of decency and of how the, like, the government is supposed to actually
do
work.
Your job.
Right. McConnell, and this is what it's all about, is up for re-election in Kentucky, as we've said, and really actually vulnerable, has his own electoral problems to contend with, along with Rand Paul's popularity at home. So, you know, it's one group of people they're making happy. Daily Beast reports, is the Tea Party Republicans who worked to get them elected. Amy Kremer.
Please and thank you.
Yes, she's president of the National Tea Party Express.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
She said, I absolutely support what they're doing. When Ted ran for office, he said, I'm going to kick down the doors, rip off the drapes, and auction off the silver in China. And that's exactly what he's doing.
Really?
He hasn't held an auction yet.
I commend them all for that, because there's a lot of pressure there. You want to be accepted, you want to make friends, but you're not there to be liked. No, you're there to be a complete asshat and wreck the place.
Yeah.
Really? And they're applauding this.
And stealing the silverware.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not auctioning it. He's stealing it.
For God's sakes. All right. Lauren in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lauren.
Hi. I'm so excited. Huge fan.
Oh, thank you.
My comment is actually taking it back to immigration and the statistics. I have to say, I was a little offended by Chris. Just saying, he implied that the South was going to explode, you know, heads explode over.
No, I said there were a lot of heads exploding across the South. I didn't say everybody's head was exploding across the South. I'm from the South.
No. I just have to defend and say I don't think we have more racists down here. I just think they're more famous.
Hmm.
Louder.
Beg to differ.
I'm from the South, and yeah, there are more there, I have to say.
But, I mean, right now, with the immigration, it shows the state legislature doesn't even line up with the interests of the state. Farmers are finding that out right now. A lot of farmers are really upset about the legislation in Alabama to try and keep immigrants out. And it's really quite controversial down here.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to defend a little.
All right. Well, that was a nice try. And plucky of you.
Yeah.
However. All right. Brett in Louisiana is on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Brett.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
One quick thing. And, you just had a segment a while ago where you're talking about how people tend to stereotype all Muslims as terrorists and how that's wrong.
Uh-oh. Is this the story about the Louisiana creationism?
It's the story of you know, while ago when you made reference to Louisiana, you played your hillbilly music. Mm-hmm. You said education and Louisiana was an oxymoron. And, you know, I took a little offense to that. But, I'm not mad.
Right. But when the state of Louisiana does, when the state of Louisiana does something like that, it is kind of boneheaded.
Yeah, and every state in the union does it. Every state. But, you know, you basically...
California does not teach creationism.
Right, but what they're saying is creationism trumps the Constitution. Yeah. That has been ruled unconstitutional to teach creationism alongside evolution as equivalent.
I took the inference that people from Louisiana were stupid from your argument.
No. The people that are are trying to get this passed against the Constitution, I think are.
It just seems like every time something comes up from the South, we got hillbilly music and making fun of people being dumb and ignorant. And yeah, I just bought a vacation cabin in Arkansas where the poor people are a hardcore Democrat, and they're some of the finest people in the world. They've got no teeth, they've got no jobs, they've got no education, but they're fine, hardworking people.
Yeah, I agree. We're talking about the specific people that that passed this bill.
Okay, then my bad.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Point taken, though.
All right.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, some breaking news. Jim Graves has dropped out of the race in Minnesota for Michelle Bachmann's seat, which we just had him on a couple days ago. I was surprised, but he said...
He said, with Michelle Bachmann now stepping down, the feeling is mission accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people were so... because, first of all, she was hardly ever there.
Right.
She didn't really do anything for the people in Minnesota. She was too busy being on Fox News. But anyway, I thought Jim Graves is great. So let's hope someone else really good steps in. All right, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, speaking of win some, lose some, group fails in their bid to recall Joe Arpaio.
Yeah.
Oops, I meant that. Oh.
You know what, though? There's a recall against him every year, and it always fails.
Well,
so.
I didn't realize, you know, what's his name, Russell Pierce, they were successful. Yep. You only needed 7,700 signatures to trigger that. Recall this one, they needed 335,000.
Well, yeah.
And I think last they had announced they had 200,000. I mean, that's a lot.
Well, that's because it's countywide. And in Russell Pierce's district, you know, much smaller population.
Yeah. Arpaio's critics had argued the sheriff should be booted because his office failed to adequately investigate more than 400 sex crime cases, has cost the country $25 million in legal settlements over treatment in county jails, and his office was found by a federal judge to have systematically racially profiled Latinos in his signature immigration patrol. So that's not to be. That's not to say that he's not awful, but they just didn't make it this time.
Yep.
Fell short, but he's a disgrace. And he uses taxpayer money to send investigators to Hawaii or because he's a birther. What does that have to do with being a sheriff in Arizona?
I'm looking into whether or not Hawaii is actually a state.
I can't stand that man.
All right. Evelyn in South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Evelyn.
Yes. Hello, Steph. Yes, I love you.
Thank you.
I've been watching your show for a year, and it's beautiful, and you're a beautiful lady.
Oh, thank
the
you.
Reason that I'm calling, it's about a caller not too long ago. She was talking about not much hatred in the South. I'm from South Carolina, and there are so much hatred here. Especially since we've had this president, is hatred. And one more thing I want to say. People, these religious people that called into your show talking about God, they use God as a shield for their hatred.
Yep.
And that is what's going on. God has nothing to do with their heart.
Yep.
The hate in their heart. God is all about the goodness.
Yep. That's right. Well, and speaking of which, my personal comedy Jesus will be joining us in just a few minutes. John Fugelsang, the Ecclesiastical Mook. Let's go to Joe in West Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Yes. Just curious, you all were beating up on Bush for about 8 years. Is enough time for the
Republicans to beat up on you guys for a while?
No.
Right. Well, there was his specific policies, you know, like the unnecessary war and stuff.
Spending a whole lot of money that we didn't have.
Worst attack in history on the country under his watch.
Right.
Spending the surplus on unnecessary wars.
Watching people drown after Katrina and not really sending anybody into
help. Collapse of the economy.
Your thoughts, Joe?
700,000 jobs a month.
All right.
Well, I mean, other than that, the same thing. You know, we have our policies are different than your all's. I mean, it's
right.
You know, back and forth.
Yeah,
right.
We try and help
Were you
people.
For the policies we just mentioned?
Which is gun control? No, I'm not.
We just rattled off a whole list of them.
We
didn't
talk
listen.
About gun control. We didn't say a word about gun control. That whole, well.
I know you're all's base feeling on that, though, and you all want to take them out of everybody's hands. So
No,
we do not.
Play your Arkansas music because I'm from West Virginia.
We have said over and over again, we do not want to take guns out of your hands. You don't
just
listen. You don't listen. You don't listen to the show, do you, Joe?
Do you think George Bush was a good president?
He was all right. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think he handled 9/11 pretty well.
He did. In that it happened on his watch.
Yeah,
right,
sure.
Right.
Yeah. And then he fled for several days.
If that kind of attack happened on President Obama's watch, would you have any thoughts on that?
I don't think he would respond to it the same way. I mean, that's just my point.
I would hope not.
By invading the wrong country?
Yeah, I would hope he wouldn't respond that way.
You know, I pray every day that this doesn't happen again to our country.
Right.
So, you know, I Bill Clinton did miss a good...
Oh, come on, really?
What was it?
No. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's all Clinton's.
Too bad that happened on Bill Clinton's watch.
And once again, Bill Clinton left a surplus, and George Bush couldn't wait to flush it down.
Oh, and also, you know what he left? A whole bunch of warnings, according to Richard Clark. Remember?
Yeah.
They all said for the number one thing you should pay attention to is Al-Qaeda right now. By the way, here are some memos. Hair on fire. Remember that's what Richard Clark said? Five alarm, hair on fire.
You covered your ass now.
Yeah, all right, thanks. All right, well, That was kind of nostalgic, that conversation.
Well, it's time to beat up and run y'all.
He's all right. Okie dokie. Hey, speaking of everything old is new again, guess what's back? SARS. Wow.
Yay.
Saudi Arabia has reported 3 more people have died from a new respiratory virus related to SARS.
Right.
Great.
Remember that? Everybody with the masks?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bringing the total number of deaths globally to 30. Oh, no. Next, you know, Ebola is going to be back. There's going to be another movie with Dustin Hoffman. It's
We'll all be wearing hazmat suits.
Right.
Maybe could update that reference to Contagion, which came out just a few years ago.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Okay. Jim in Chicago.
Birth of a Nation.
Outbreak, Contagion, whatever. Hello, Jim. Hi, Jim.
Yes, Stephanie, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Good, all right. I was just going to say, I live in Chicago, and you know what? I hear just as much racist rhetoric in Chicago as I do anywhere else. I think there's just a lot of hypocrisy among people that live here. But you know what? When you talk to people in certain circles, you hear every bit as much racist rhetoric as you do anywhere else. And I don't think it's different among blacks, whites, anywhere else. I think when people, certain groups get together, they're going to espouse what they truly believe. And,
judging by Road Flair Mary from Chicago, you could have a point. But we were just saying the caller that said there's not more racists in the South; they're just louder. I have to say you disagree. And if you look at electoral results, you'd have to agree, wouldn't you?
Well, I think they're more conservative politically. Alan West was from the South, and
did Alan West win? I mean, well, that's what I'm saying. He just lost.
Yeah, but you know what? Anything south of Jacksonville in Florida really isn't the South.
What about the congressmen from South Carolina or Oklahoma that were black that won those districts, which people say are racist districts? How come they won?
Well, we're not saying it never happened.
No, you just mentioned two people that won out of how many people who represent the South over the last 20 years.
But they ran as Republicans, as conservatives. Mm-hmm. Conservatives embraced them, just like...
Right, you mentioned two people. That's it.
Right, that, yeah, exactly.
That's a
and sadly,
tiny, tiny percentage of the people who ran.
Right, it's like saying, look, Herman Cain ran. Okay.
999.
Right. 58 minutes after the hour. Fridays with John Fugelsang next on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Friday, why is that word so happy?
Tizzle sang, tizzle sang, I'm sang. Tizzle sang, tizzle sang.
I love playing Jingle Roulette.
Good morning, Angel.
I wish these jingles had been around when I was a kid being persecuted for having a weird guttural Germanic name that began with F-U. Good morning, Steve. Hi, Jim. Hi, Chris.
Did
Hi.
You know there was a Danish astronaut named Fuglesang?
Christer Fuglesang, yes. The first Norwegian in space. He's actually Swedish. Yes,
wow.
I do.
And
yes.
I think you may have spent more time in the cockpit if having been on the road with you. What am I talking about? I don't know what I mean
what
by that.
What are you talking about?
John Fuglesang, you and I collided.
You're confusing me with Marcus Bachmann, who I'm going to be missing so much.
I was just going to say, you and I collided on the behind the candelabra jokes about the Bachmanns.
Behind the what jokes?
Candelabra.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because I said she was leaving. She was leaving Congress to spend more time with her husband, Marcus, and his new chauffeur, Scott Thorson.
There you go.
yes.
Whee! I did that quote.
And their dog, Baby Boy.
He's right. Barbarian that needs to be disciplined.
And, John, I'm a big picture person, idea person. I already put out Someone Needs to Do Behind the Congressional Candelabra, starring the Bachmanns, and HBO already running the promos.
Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show.
Dr. Marcus Bachmann, what do you say when your teenager says she's gay?
Thank you very, very much. This is my friend Scott Thorson.
There's that curiosity.
You are incredible. I love to give people a good time.
Alone at last. Barbarians need to be educated.
Why don't you come work for me?
As what? They need to be disciplined.
Do you even like this man?
Yeah, I really do. Well, look who's up.
Just because someone feels it or thinks it doesn't mean that we're supposed to go down that road.
I call this palatial kitsch.
That's what's called the sinful nature.
Sleep tight, my baby boy.
Ugh. Fine doggy sunglasses for our dog Boomer.
You are very cute.
They are giving full, wide open doors to children, not only giving encouragement to think it, but to actually encourage action steps.
It's not bad for an old bag, huh?
After a great deal of thought and deliberation, I have decided next year I will not seek a fifth congressional term.
I'm so sorry, I'm so informal.
Kenny Pick in Cleveland.
Kenny Pick did that?
Yes.
That's great work. Hats off to Kenny Pick. That's beautiful.
Exactly. That was my favorite one. Action steps. I hadn't heard that one.
Action steps.
Posse, Twyla.
You got a talented posse. That was brilliant. And what a great movie Soderbergh made, too.
Oh,
you know?
That was a really good movie.
We are obsessed
with
it.
Terrific film. And he could not get funding. The reason it's on HBO is he couldn't get financing for years. He had his actors lined up. He had his script. And even after Brokeback Mountain, no studio would put out money for a film like that. HBO came through, and they got record ratings.
Yep.
So
good. Highest ratings they've had in 10 years.
Yeah, Michael Douglas was incredible. His
Michael Douglas. How often have you ever seen Michael Douglas not playing Michael Douglas in a film?
Right.
It was so great to like be reminded, this guy's an actor. Mm-hmm. And he was on his deathbed a couple years ago.
I know.
Yeah.
Recovered
and Rob Lowe, I mean, come on.
Oh.
As a plastic surgeon whose eyes are so tight you can't see.
I just love Steven Soderbergh. This is great.
Yeah.
Great work.
You know, interesting. We haven't talked about this. We just got an interesting email. I want to get your take. It is things I noticed in the film. We just were sort of cooing over the greatness of it in general. But Jason in Virginia writes, Steph, I watched Behind the Candelabra and really enjoyed the film, but I was rather disturbed by how conservative Liberace was.
Yeah.
It was as if he felt shame by his sexual orientation and did everything in his power to keep it a secret. And it wasn't the only thing he was trying to hide from the public either. What about the scene backstage where he prepares for his own appearance on the Oscars by praising Jane Fonda for giving up politics and asserting that entertainers exist to entertain, not to display their opinions? That really irked me. So after the film was over, I went online and looked more into Liberace's conservatism and found out the following. He was indeed a Republican, and his religious and political beliefs were very conservative. He was very vain and materialistic. He also loved capitalism and didn't like rebels or dissidents that bucked the system and spoke out. I'd always admired Liberace for his talent and kindness, but all this made me like him a little less. It's as if his conservatism held him in chains his entire life. It was truly the ugly part of his personality. Anyway, I'd like to hear what you guys think about Liberace's conservatism.
I think he did like dissidents a lot.
Really? And he was a fan of Nixon, obviously. right? He was for Dick, I think.
Yes.
Don't you think?
He's behind that original Nixon.
Jingle.
I'm for Nixon.
Right?
Hey, play piano on this.
Right.
Nixon, right? Nixon.
I'm for Nixon.
I'm for Nixon, too.
Well, it relates right to what we're talking about with the Bachmans, because, yeah, of course, you know, the biggest misconception people in majorities have is when they make blanket generalizations over minorities. Not all gay people think the same politically, mm-hmm. just like not all right. black folks, not all Latinos. You know, there's diversity within every minority group. However, if you're a gay person who's voting Republican, you're a terrible person, and we should talk about that, because if you're voting for the party that has written into their platform that you shouldn't have the right to marry who you love in a free society, you're a terrible person, you're a terrible gay person. And I don't want to hear that you vote your pocketbook and you only care about your bottom line. You're a horrible person. And so when we make jokes about Marcus Bachmann, because, look, the guy's so gay, I bought lube, okay?
Right, but, right.
You know, I and I'm going to miss him, so I'm trying to, like, shoot my wad of Marcus Bachmann jokes
right.
this week. Cause,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So when you do that, you'll always have some politically correct so-and-so say, well, you're liberal making fun of gay people, liberal homophobes. It's not possible to be a liberal homophobe. However,
right.
if you're a gay man, and I don't know for sure that Marcus Bachmann is
no.
a gay man. I respect that he is straight identified. However, if you're a gay man and you are voting for a homophobic agenda, or if you're a closeted gay man and you're in that kind of pain, and that's a prison and that's a horrible place, but if you're still hurting other people, you are part of why young kids are committing suicide.
Oh.
And damn right I'll make fun of you, sister.
Right. Well, you know, the that one scene where he's actually proud of having lied in the lawsuit, you know, he obviously
yeah.
had to go on the stand and say that he was not gay, and he won the lawsuit, and he's sort of proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. No, anyway, but I...
You know, not the healthiest guy.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, who is this? Oh, Adam writes, Dear Mom and the Moobs, considering how well-received my Farewell to Mittens montage was by you guys and my personal comedy, Jesus, John Fugelsang, I produced another montage for Michelle Bachmann. This is okay. This is
from one island to another, my name is Michelle Bachmann.
Lord, the day is at hand. We are in the last days. You are Jehovah God.
I am not here as anybody's judge.
Wonderful. Let's appreciate and value everyone's cultures. But not all cultures are equal.
But the Lord says, be submissive. Wives, you are be submissive to your husbands.
We have to understand, barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined.
So yes, I've very much been a part of the solution, and it's insulting to say that these are political speech, because that's one thing I do not do. It's political
okay.
speech.
What does God say when he looks at you or when he looks at me? He wants to say, she's hot. He's hot. Because we are hot for him on the inside. Amen?
We have to today make a covenant. Let's let our wrists be blood brothers on this thing.
What?
This will not pass.
You're the state where the shot was heard around the world at Lexington and Concord. And you put a marker in the ground.
But what I want them to know is, just like John Wayne was from Waterloo, Iowa, that's just the kind of spirit that I have, too.
Let's all say happy birthday to Elvis Presley today. Happy birthday!
She has the spirit of John Wayne Gacy.
You lose! Good day, sir!
Well, that's rude.
That was beautiful.
Shine on, you crazy Dunya. She was like Brian Wilson at the height of his acid casualty, who refuses to leave the sandbox inside his bedroom phase without the clarity or knack from Illinois. I'll miss her so much.
By the way, Adam in Illinois says, one more thing. My sister's getting married in 2 weeks. If we could get a wedding, shout out to Carrie and Kevin. Shout out.
Ah.
All right. P.S. P.S. Sexy Liberal in Chicago rocks. I got molested by Stephanie Miller, and it was fun. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Right?
Wow.
Yeah, and only several thousand people have had that privilege, so.
Lucky bastards.
Yeah, it is a week of mourning for comedians. In fact,
that's
I cut
awful.
Myself this week because I think that she's turned comedians into a nation of cutters.
Yeah, I cut myself to feel because I just,
right.
I supported her. You know,
right.
Steph, I thought we were ready for another president who thought Rwanda was JJ's sister on
that's
Good
right.
Times.
That's
I mean,
right.
she,
you did, Duncan,
she supported tax cuts to companies that sent jobs overseas and then said high taxes drive jobs overseas. I mean, she called being gay personal bondage and enslavement. And I'm like, you're going to the wrong leather bars, lady. Yeah. And yeah. she wants to cut her wrists and be
right.
brothers.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Right.
That's
yeah.
not how it's done.
And we can't forget, she lied about Obamacare being designed to kill people, lied about Obama's travel expenses to India, lied about the HPV vaccine causing mental retardation. Mm-hmm. She's just, we can't let Michelle Bachmann's dumbness blind us from the reality of Michelle Bachmann's evil. And that's important to remember.
It's true. And I had not, Ecclesiastical Mook, heard the whole I'm hot for Jesus thing. You know, because she's hot.
Hot.
He's hot. Jesus. Hot. She's hot for Jesus.
You are Jehovah God. You're
That's
so
common
hot.
Among evangelicals.
Well,
is,
a comedian,
is that a common phrase among evangelicals to say I'm hot for Jesus? Really?
No, I don't know that one. But as a comedian, I'm gay for Marcus, so
right.
she's allowed to be hot for Jesus.
Right. I understand. He's hot.
How many people can we offend?
I know, exactly. We've done pretty well, and it's only the opening segment. All right, 17 minutes after the
Gospel
hour.
Of Michelle.
Oh, boy.
He can't pray the gay away, and she can't pray the cray-cray away.
17, and she can't pray hard enough for him to, like, see. All right, 17 minutes after the hour. Oh, Jehovah God.
Enjoy, kitty cats.
Oh, Jehovah God, his end is too near other men. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, right back.
Oh.
Fridays with Bugle Sing on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. 21 minutes after the hour, Fridays with sexy liberal John Bugelstein. Kristen Yankton, appreciating my archaic SARS reference.
Oh.
He said, Seth, it's like that scene in Dr. Zhivago where Lillian Gish rips off the SARS face mask and yells, I'm Spartacus, or was it Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
That's a great movie.
I don't remember.
Okay. Oh, yeah, she mentioned Outbreak as a current disease movie. I'm like, just update it to Contagion at least.
All right.
Come
SARS
on.
Is back, John. It's very exciting. Okay, everything
I know,
old is
no,
new.
No, this is nuclear SARS. This is actually very scary.
Yeah, it is. People are dying already.
SARS, yeah, this is bad.
And they're building, like, containment rooms now where no virus can get in or out, so they just shove these people in there, and they're trying to stem it that way.
Yeah. Mark in Texas for the Ecclesiastical MOOC. Hello, Mark. Welcome.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
Hey, Mooks.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
I was just calling about earlier that when y'all were mentioning Louisiana that didn't want to follow the government rules on education of religion.
Right, Constitution. They think the creationism trumps the Constitution.
Yeah, well, does anybody ever tell them they've never met God? And they have no idea what a day to God is.
Exactly.
Of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's 11 billion years since the universe has been created and 5 billion years since our galaxy, our solar system here has been created. I think God's been around a lot longer if he truly exists. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, what's a day to timeless?
Yeah, what's a day to God?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I created it, I'll say how long it is.
Right.
It could be a billion years. You don't know.
How do you know?
So it's like, what does Christianity have to do with the book of Genesis? You follow the teachings of Jesus, or do you follow the mythology of the Old Testament?
Right.
I mean, if you believe all of the book of Genesis, then you've got to believe that the part about the fallen angels coming down and mating with human females and giving birth to giants. Because that's there. Yeah.
What's your point?
What? Okay.
Like that's weird or something?
Stephen is one of the many Southerners that is offended that we play this one.
I'm half Southerner, so I'm only half offended by it.
Get over yourselves.
All right. Yeah. Stephen says, I want to say I watch your show most mornings. I must say I agree with some of your callers today about the double standard regarding stereotypes. I think you do a disservice to yourselves and your listeners and subtract from your positive message of tolerance and fair play.
Who said we had a positive message?
Yeah.
When did that start?
Yeah.
When you constantly lump Southerners into one broad category, I am sure you would bite back if someone made sweeping statements like all lesbians play softball or all Californians stink of patchouli.
Well, don't they?
Except that all lesbians do play softball and all Californians do stink of patchouli.
Well,
so what's your point?
You know that sketch on Saturday Night Live, The Californians?
The Californians.
Right.
That's a documentary.
Yes.
We talk about that. We talk like that at every party.
Here.
Yeah.
Steven signs it, a dumb, redneck, toothless Georgia boy in North Carolina. All right, Steven.
Okay.
To you from this softball playing lesbian who stinks of patchouli.
I'm half Southern, so I'm allowed to make fun of Southern people.
So, that's right. I got to get in Marinadale right after this. And I'm taking 405 down to Jefferson and then turn right on Beethoven.
Right.
Yeah. See, you should have met my dad when my dad would come to L.A. So how do I get there? I take the Sepulveda over to Wilshire.
Oh, God.
And then I go over to Pico, and then I get to La Cienega. Is that what it's called?
Yes, and you have to eat clay when you're on Pico.
Yeah.
Our friend Melissa Fitzgerald, not Bree, her friend deliberately told her all the wrong names, all the pronunciations
no.
of names when she moved here.
That's funny.
You L.A. people with your precious freeways.
That's L.A. humor. Don't let anyone tell you it is not Sepulveda. That is... People will try to correct you, but that is wrong.
Dude, you just take the 10 to the 405 to the 101. It's not... Yeah, try the Cross Bronx Expressway, you weak-livered L.A. people. That's where I'm living now. I lived in your world of sunshine for a while.
They cut you on the Cross Bronx Expressway.
They cut you on... They cut you.
Yeah, they cut you.
Yeah.
Bad.
They find where you live, and they cut your family and your pets.
By the way, the other stereotype about all lesbians belch?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Our sound guy, Josh.
Josh at Current TV.
Right.
Yeah.
He would like to do... He would like to have a belch off with me someday.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, bring it on. Bring it. I will cut a bitch in a belching contest.
Because he hears every noise that comes out of here.
I'm going to crawl up on the ceiling that little...
That's true, though. I
take that, Josh.
I know that all lesbians do that because I saw all the lesbians go together to the Lilith Fair.
Right.
Yes.
When we're done with the softball game.
Sure.
Mm. And done fixing your trucks.
But before you get to Home Depot.
Yeah, and the roller derby.
Exactly. Anita in
the... And the LPGA golf tournament.
I'm not a golf lesbian. That's where I draw the line.
Oops.
Anita.
Oh
dear. Uh-oh. Something went down.
Someone's trying to transmit from the far side of the moon.
Yikes.
You sound like old Spock in the new Star Trek film.
Stan in Nebraska. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Stan.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I was calling about the guy that was complaining about Louisiana. You know, if he doesn't like it, he needs to lighten up and go back to Fox.
Yeah, but exactly. And I appreciate I appreciate his thoughts, and also I thought that he had a really pretty mouth when he said it.
Oh.
But let me ask you something. I driving down the road, I was listening for about the last half hour of all the different things, and seems to me, remember when they had those three monkeys where the monkeys had their eyes covered, their mouth covered, and their ears covered.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. See no evil, hear no evil. Right.
Well, I think we could modernize that into Mount Douchemore and add John McCain and Sarah Palin to one end of it, and put Lindsey Graham and Michelle Bachmann on the other end. And the difficult part is, where do you put in Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz?
Wow.
I don't know. Mountain Douchemore.
I like that.
I like it.
Yeah. Put them in the gift shop.
Mountain Douchemore.
Exactly. Matt in Indiana, you're on with John. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, I just, it kind of bothers me. I'm kind of like dead in the middle of the, I guess, the political left-rightness. I'm a fairly educated person, you know, and I see a lot of inconsistencies going on both sides, and it's like we need to stop the bickering, stop the arguing between left and right, liberal and conservative, and
that would be nice,
and all that, and work together to fix the real issues of poverty, racial discrimination.
There's a problem with that. There's a problem with that. Is nobody on the right appears willing to do that?
Right.
Well, no, there are, but I mean, It's just attacking. Like that's all I hear on both sides. You know, so it's
that's all you hear.
For what's that?
Yeah. Well, all the things you just mentioned, the Democrats and the president have been trying to work on. They can't get Republicans to come to the table on any of those issues.
Well, it's not only the civil issues. It's the issues with our country in whole. You know, the debt that we're in and the
actually the debt is falling at a record pace, and we're okay. All right. Both sides do it. He just stumbled across our show.
Uh-huh.
He's a small business owner.
The debt. Debt's the real problem.
Who likes to listen to both sides.
He was nicer than they usually are.
That's true. Right back.
Thank
more
you
Friday.
For calling.
Yeah, all right. Right back with Fridays of Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hello.
One of the reasons I went into TV was to meet girls.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, who wants to see a picture of Michelle Bachmann picking her nose?
Yay!
Okay, we'll post on our Facebook page. This is from John. It's an actual picture.
Oh, no.
Hi, Steph and crew. Sorry, it took about 5 flash drives and hundreds of pictures to find this gem. My little niece that lives in the 6th District of Minnesota had a patriotic parade where she's in the back of a car. Oh. And she is digging for gold, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, she is. Yep. Picture. Okay. All right. Friday's with sexy liberal John Fugel saying, John, I don't know if you saw the news that, 40% of American mothers are their family's sole or primary breadwinner.
Oh, not only did I see it, I saw the Fox News all-male commentary.
There you go. Exactly. Losing their collective shizzle over that. Rise of female breadwinners will destroy society as we know it, according to Fox News.
Well, yeah, last night we had an all-female panel on Viewpoint featuring Tina Dupuy and Liz Winstead and the Eljoy Williams, who's the head of the NAACP of Brooklyn, to do an all-female panel on the all-male panel on how awful it is to have women, you know, feeding their children by, through working.
Yes, Juan Williams, he would be the Fox liberal, correct?
Mm.
He said, you're seeing,
yes,
I think,
marks.
Systematically, something going terribly wrong in American society, and it's hurting our children, and it's going to have an impact for generations to come. Eric Erickson, a man so nice they named him twice. When you look at biology, he said, look at the natural world, the roles of male and female in society, the other animals, the male typically is the dominant role. We as a people, it's like Michelle Bachmann says, you should be submissive to your husband.
Mm.
We as a people in a smart society have lost the ability to have complementary relationships and nuclear families, and it's tearing us apart.
Newsflash, elephants are matriarchal.
Okay.
Elephant societies are matriarchal. Oh, a lot of bird societies are too. But this survey, you know, 40% of the of families with children, the woman is the primary breadwinner. It includes single moms.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The hardest working people in our entire society.
Yeah.
And then Eric Erickson, as you know, Steph, doubled down on the dumbing down when he said he was giving facts and gave no facts and said that children raised in LGBT households have it much worse than children raised in heterosexual households.
And
that's surprisingly offered zero data.
Hmm. Right. Interesting. That's okay. You know why?
Why?
Grumpy Cat's getting a movie, everybody.
Yay.
Huh? Yay. Oh,
he's got
kitty.
An agent.
Oh, kitty. Good. Gawker brings us the news. Good news for people who like good news about cats who like bad news. Grumpy Cat. The internet's most beloved foul-tempered feline has signed a deal to star in a Garfield-like family movie about a talking cat.
I just played a talking dog on Haunted Hathaway.
All we know so far is about the film is that Grumpy, whose real name is Tartar Sauce, or Tard for short.
Tards.
Right.
Yeah.
Will be live action rather than animated. Grumpy was just named the most influential cat of 2012 by MSNBC.
Are there other influential cats?
I don't know who else was in the running.
Well, Garfield is retired, so I guess.
Well, at this point, Garfield's
dead. Or any of the cats who look like Hitler or Wilford Brimley nominated? Who can say? Who can say? All right. Norma in Arizona. John, it's for you.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, Norma.
Hello. Hello, John.
Good morning.
Yes, this is for you.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi. The reason I'm calling, I've basically recently joined a church, actually in the past year, became a Christian. I seem to be the one, keep in mind I'm in Arizona and I'm in the most conservative part of Arizona. I seem to be the one that's standing up for the gays. And I need to know, what new arguments can I bring to the table when I'm talking to, now it's not the pastor. Pastor seems to be kind of open.
Okay. Well,
but Jesus
never said a thing. Go ahead.
Well, one of the books I wanted to use, we've been doing Galatians, and I seem to find a lot in Galatians that says that they need to be treating people differently.
Galatians.
How do you feel about it?
Well, Galatians makes no reference to gay people that I know of
right.
at all. And it's not even
right.
one of the It's not even one of the books that's used by homophobic Christians to justify discrimination. That's
right. I want to use it as a non-homophobic Christian.
Oh well, you can do that. I think great. But you know, I mean, just Jesus is all you need. Jesus never said a thing against gay people. His talk about how some men are born eunuchs and some are made eunuchs by men is actually probably talking about gay people and not actual eunuchs. Back then, it's translation. Eunuch meant anyone you felt safe leaving your wife and kids around. And very often, you know, Roman lords would have gay men attend their wives and kids because they weren't threatened by them sexually.
So, and then the story of Jesus healing the Roman centurion's son, which is my favorite misunderstood story in the Bible. I mean, the Roman centurion's slave. You know, in the movie Jesus of Nazareth, where Jesus is a blonde, is a blue-eyed British Xanax addict?
Right, right.
Ernest Borgnine plays the centurion. And the story is he comes and says, hey, Jesus, my slave is dying. Will you come to my house and heal him? The apostles flip out. Jesus says, you know what, man? You already have faith. Your slave is healed. Go home, he's fine. The apostles are like, how could you do that? These guys are occupying our land. And Jesus is like, shucks, y'all, that's what I do. I paraphrase loosely. But the thing
right.
is, when you in the original Greek, the word wasn't slave, it was pais, P-A-I-S, which means beloved boy. And what do we know about the Romans historically? They left the wives at home and brought their teenage boy lovers on the road. So that would explain why the apostles went so apoplectic when Jesus agreed to heal this guy, because Jesus was healing the man's younger male lover. And in that context, the story makes a lot more sense, because why would an imperial general of an occupying army seek out a local homeless Jewish mystic to come to his home to heal a common slave, unless that slave meant a lot to him? So you can't use any part of the New Testament. Matthew 19 is used, but when it says Jesus said male and female he made them, that's Jesus being a feminist arguing against the anti-woman divorce laws of the Old Testament. And not about gay people. And Paul's letter to the Romans has nothing to do with consensual relationships between same-sex adults. So, you know, I have a lot of web videos about this, and when my show goes off the air, I'm finally going to have time to go off the grid and finish my book. But, you know, listen, you're doing the right thing, and talk to your pastor privately, because he sounds like a good guy. And you know what? If Christianity wants to survive in this country, it's going to have to start being more loving, because it's good for business.
Absolutely. Norma, go forth now and testify, my child. Thank you. You have been blessed. Amen. Thank you.
I've just bored away half the audience.
Yes, you have been blessed by the Ecclesiastes.
They're running to the exit.
Although I think it's like improvising Shakespeare. I don't think you should improvise Jesus. I think he actually said shucky darn.
He did say shucky darn.
Yeah. I don't think
sounds better in Aramaic.
He said hell yeah.
Hell to the
like
yeah.
Like Dr. Dre.
That's what he said.
And then he gave a fist bump.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And Cassie Power says that she believes that the passage about eunuchs is about transsexuals, which it very well could be. I think it's for LGBT in general. I'm going to be writing a piece on that soon.
All right, fabulous. Let's go John in L.A., you're on with the other John.
And the Pope like atheists.
Hey, Steph.
I got a couple of Johns. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
The Republican Party seems to be like the 99-cent store of political ideas. You know, there's all the stuff in the window. It looks great. It's reasonably priced. You get it home. You look at it for a second, and you realize it's cheap crap, and you might as well throw it away now.
You're like, that whole sponge only worked once.
Or you buy a tool, you buy the cheapest tool you can find, you get it home to use it, and it breaks the first time you try to take a piece of something apart with it.
Aw, don't talk about Ted Cruz that way. Hey, cheap tools, because he's for austerity.
You
also.
See, because.
Oh, right, because you know what I'm saying. All right. By the way, Oprah Winfrey, did she already speak at Harvard commencement?
She did.
You get a Harvard degree, and you get a Harvard degree. Listen up, kids. All right. J-Lo, by the way, has a new TV show.
Yes, The Fosters.
Right. For ABC. Did you know about this, John?
No, I didn't.
It features a same-sex couple raising adopted biological and foster children. And Jennifer, who has twins Max and Emmy with ex-husband Mark Anthony, mm-hmm. admitted she's taken inspiration from her own situation. She said, I'm a non-traditional family, me being a single mom. Their dad doesn't live at home with them. They have three stepbrothers from two moms. That's not traditional. Do I want my children to feel weird about that? No, I don't. So putting on a show like this one to me is, look, there's no perfect image of what a family's supposed to be.
Aww.
To which we say,
nice girl.
Rock on, Jenny from the block.
Right, girl. Too bad about her looks.
Yeah. We did the story yesterday, John, about how a guy touched a Beyonce's butt during.
I saw that,
And I said, I encourage that at Sexy Liberal. That's
yes, but
I get mad when people don't touch my butt.
Beyonce handled that very well, because that is not cool, and that's why, you know, men have no idea how hard it is for women in this society. I was glad she threw the guy out.
Yeah, it was. Jim was saying, I think the soundtrack was still going, but you could see her saying, "I will throw you out."
Did she
send
it to the left? To the left? To the left?
Yeah. Take them out to the left. To the left. Hey, guess what you get at a Rihanna concert these days?
What?
Free herpes.
What?
Oh!
Great.
Oh!
Thanks, everybody.
Fantastic.
It's Susie Chapstick.
Oh!
Yeah. A woman claims she got a souvenir at a Rihanna concert that will last her lifetime. Herpes. She was at a Rihanna concert in Brooklyn, and a MAC rep was hawking lipstick samples.
Right.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
The lip, the rep applied the Riri Woo. That's red whip lipstick that Rihanna endorses.
Okay.
Mm. The suit claims the lipstick had been previously applied to the lips of others at the concert. Somebody had the herp derp. That's what you say when you find out you got herpes.
Well, you know,
blame it on someone else's lipstick. Well, gentlemen, write it down right now. Yeah. Blame it on someone else's lipstick.
Isn't that what goes on at cosmetics counters, like in department stores?
Yeah,
don't
but you're
they
not
try
supposed
things?
To use the same applicator.
They don't
reuse
their...
I mean, I don't know. I've never been to a cosmetic counter, so I don't know what goes on there.
What happens in the girl areas of the store?
I know.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, it's the areas that we walk straight through all the way to the back of the store. Yeah.
Exactly right.
Well, it's like those kamikaze perfume sprayers. I don't want any. Stop! Stop it! Don't spray me. Candida in Philly, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Candida.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Hello.
Good. My husband just got his sequester notice yesterday.
A lot of people did. Two friends of mine did.
The way they put it, it sounds so benign. It says the furlough will be on discontinuous intermittent days rather than continuous days during the period of July 8 to September 30. And full-time employees will be no longer than 11 work days to 16 work days. That's 4 months. My mortgage is never going to be met for 4 months.
Yeah.
Aye.
It's insanity.
I know.
And then they go on to say, but should additional furlough be necessary, we will give you plenty of advance notice.
Oh, great.
You know, Candida, and they can't get around to undoing this ridiculous sequester because they have to hold their 27th Benghazi hearing to, you know,
exactly.
Get to the bottom of,
well,
yeah.
You know, and the craziness is my husband and I, we knew they weren't going to do the airport thing for very long, and they couldn't do the children with the schools. I mean, in reality, the craziness would go nuts. But
right.
Now they will get the civilian employees in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is, hey, isn't Congress, aren't they civilian employees? Are they going to take 11 days?
Yeah, why not? And
exactly.
Why not?
Why isn't their paid docs
exactly.
First?
Yeah.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
Thanks, Obama. Thanks. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments. Fridays with Fugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is Too Weird, Man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang, host of Viewpoint here on the Current Television Network that you can catch every night. And he is fabulous. And
thank
not
you.
In a Marcus Bachman sort of way.
Last night we did a segment called Ask a Tea Partier. I had a 3 Republican panel where I let 2 establishment Republicans ask questions of a Tea Partier from Nashville. It was hilarious. And all 12 people that still get current enjoyed the hell
that's
out of it.
That's awesome. That is awesome. By the way, do you have porn on your evening news broadcast like they do in this happens with alarming regularity, doesn't it? Porn getting broadcast during news programs?
All the time.
Evening news programs?
It's really an epidemic.
This one in Greece. Viewers tuning in to watch Tuesday evening's news broadcast on Greece's state-owned TV were surprised to see a bit more softcore porn than usual in reports on the country's latest unrest. While the state anchor went on about the news of the day, a graphic sex scene clearly unfolding on one of the screens behind him.
Oh, no.
What's not fun about that?
Well, I've said a long time that Fox News is porn for Satan.
There you go.
Oh, mention Benghazi again. Oh.
By the way, we were talking about all the male anchors going crazy about the 40% of the American breadwinners are women now.
Mm-hmm.
Paddingport Lar- Oh, and I think Eric Erickson talked about the animal kingdom, that it's supposed to be the...
Yeah.
Although
yeah.
Someone pointed out the female lion brings home the gazelle. The male lays around mm-hmm. the den watching porn.
Porn.
Paddingport Lauderdale says, Dear Steph, isn't it convenient that the religious right points to animal behavior to guide a sex relationship, yet denies humans are part of the animal kingdom? We, of course, being created in the image of God. And as we pointed out, homosexuality exists in every species. So, you know, pick which it is, right? John Fugelsang?
Well,
are you
yeah, of course yes. It is. Okay. But, you know, I mean, it's just do the right thing. It's not that hard.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, we are all in mourning, as we've talked about, comedians all over the country. This is, of course, the week that Michelle Bachmann has announced that she has She's retiring from
Baby,
Congress.
Baby, come back. Baby, come back.
Yes, I know. I know.
I want her to come back. She'll be a great president when she finally gets those Dalmatians.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to Bob in Texas. You're on.
Hey, how are you doing, Stephanie?
Puppies! Hello, Bob.
How are you doing, Stephanie?
Good, go ahead.
I'm one of those Southerners that always inspires the deliverance thing to strike us.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
You talked earlier about Sheriff Joe Arpaio in Arizona, and I watched a documentary with him. He is the most evil hate monger I have ever seen.
I met him. I've been to his prison.
How do people in Arizona, even if you're conservative, elect someone? He despises Latinos. Just, you know, it's just evil.
Well, that's coming back to bite him in the ass because...
Yeah, you didn't need a judge to confirm that he's obviously racially profiling. It's like he invented
it. He doesn't care. I mean, he loves it. And he was asked...
He's a showboater. That's it.
...about the number of prisoners that died in his jails, and he proudly said, I don't really feel bad about it. I look at it like a deterrent to crime. I mean, what kind of person says that, you know?
A person who knows who's going to vote for him.
I was really hoping that recall election, you know, would get rid of him, but, evidently they love the guy there or something.
No, I don't even know that's that, Bob. We were talking about this earlier, that there's a huge amount of signatures that's required. It's like 335,000.
335,000?
Yeah, they got up above 200,000, I believe. But, you know, it is difficult. I don't know that people love him. I think it's just a tough, what's his name? Russell Pierce.
Right.
That was only like 8,000 signatures were needed.
That's a small district in the city of Mesa. You know, to recall Arpaio, you have to get everybody in Maricopa County, which is a huge county.
Mm-hmm. Well, does that include Phoenix?
It does include. There are about 2 million people in Maricopa County.
Wow, that's a large
county. What kind of like weird mixture of like homophobia and racism does he? What isn't he the one that makes those prisoners wear pink panties?
Yeah, I've been.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I get it. Ha, you know.
I get a show with
the chain gang, and you know. Yeah. I could picture him in the 30s being in Hitler's inner circle. I mean, that's the type part. I mean, he's just evil.
He was the overseer in Brother, Where Art Thou? I've been to his prison. I did a show with Bill Maher in his jail once. And it's a county jail, and it's almost all nonviolent drug offenders who make up the inmates there. So follow the lead on that.
And they're most of them haven't even been convicted of anything. They're just there waiting, you know, for their trials.
It's county jails. Right. They're there for less than a year. They wear the Hamburglar striped outfits. And there was a time when they stay in tents. It's a tent prison. Mm-hmm. So they sleep essentially outdoors all the time. And he did have them wearing pink underwear because it's not about being a reformatory or about rehabilitation. It's about humiliation.
Yeah.
And he thinks that if you humiliate these men enough, they'll stay on the straight and narrow. When in reality, it's a guy with a little bit of power who has an excuse to be cruel to people.
Yeah.
And that's all it is.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Let's go to Chedzi in Chicago. You're on with John. Hey, Chedzi.
Hi. How are you,
good,
Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
John 1, John 2, and Chris.
Hello.
I am a professor of social welfare policy as well as research methods. And my head wants to explode when I hear these calls like we've been hearing today. So I just wanted to let you know that my mother smoked from the age of 19 to age 79. She didn't die of cancer. Therefore, there's nothing to do with smoking and cancer.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, these people are saying, you know, well, there were two black people elected in South Carolina or wherever that guy was from. It's like, therefore, obviously, there is no racism.
Yeah, there's no more racism in the South.
Sure.
No, there's no racism because I know two people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's so stupid. The exception does not disprove the rule.
Right.
You would no more say.
Right.
That,
and everybody realizes we're not saying everyone in the South is racist. It's just, but I think what the caller said is there's not more racists in the South. They're just louder. And we disagreed.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with your disagreement.
I appreciate your agreement with my disagreement. And I agree with your assessment of me. As being generally agreeable. Thank you, Ted.
What a wonderful hug to end the show with.
That was a big warm hug.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
I want to wrap myself around her head like a koala all weekend. Tom Bugle saying, you are beloved. Both
miss you much, Stephanie Miller. Thank you.
Yeah, me to you. Viewpoint on the current television network every night. John Bugle saying, the man, the myth, the legend. We will see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show. Bye, John.
Have a good night. Here we go.